Just to review where we were, there are three machlokos bedavra as to what passels the kutim. One is that they are gerei aras, which means that they might be their goyim. Two, but there are Jews mixed amongst them. Remember, so for Rabbi Ishmael, it means some are Jewish, some are possibly Jewish, some are not Jewish, or maybe not. Maybe he just assumes they're not Jewish. Shita number two is Rabbi Akiva, that the kutim are really gerei emes. But they and the Kohanim are Kohanim Ksheirim, but there's a concern of Mamzeris because they were Miyabim Esharusos only, and they were Potrin Esadasuos. That's the key. Miyabim Esharusos we agree on. That's okay, if that's proper. And the third Shita is the Yesh Omrim, and the Yesh Omrim says, She'enem Bekiyim Betikduke Mitzvos. So I think that's where we were up to. So now, it's a question I don't care that much. There's only one part that interests me, something Tosus asks in terms of the details. The Gemara wants to know what is the issue that the Napikim Betituke Mitzvos. So the Gemara, if you go to Ve'elahacha Mayein Bekiyin. I don't remember who I asked to read, so. Yitzi, can I ask you to read from. Third to last line, full line in the Gemara Kiddushin, near the end of the line. Ve'alachim mayim b'kiyin.
Ve'alachim mayim b'kiyin. V'fisheim b'kiyin b'tzar Kiddushin v'yirushin. Arav ma'atam rabba barabba. Mamzer me'achoto, mamzer me'yishet ach, mit arba behen. Ma'ik mashmalan. Yish mamzer mitay v'krito.
So this it's really all part of a question. So firstly, the fish ain and bikiyim b'toras kiddushin v'gerushin. That's the reason why not bikiyim b'tuke mitzvos means you have a suffix of mamzerus. The question is that one general statement? And now you have two other opinions, or are these two opinions explaining what the error was that happened that has created a suffix in the yuchsin? So Rav Nachman said that it was a mamzer me'achoso and a mamzer me'eshesach got mixed into the kutim. So now the Gemara just wants to know, what's the point of him telling us this? Why does he formulate that way? Why doesn't he just say mamzer nesari v'nahu? So the Gemara says, presumably the reason for telling us is to tell you what creates mamzerus. And what is the paradigm that he has presented here?
But not
death. The key is that they are pretty much all the arayos get kares, but only four of them that produce mamzerus get death. So the point is that yesh mamzer mechayve krisus, not from chayve lavin, not from mitzvos beis din. Right. In other words, you get malchus. The truth is, if someone is baal eish asach and they warn him not to do so, he gets malchus. That's the punishment. This karis bidei shemayim, but bidei adam this malchus. So the point is, but the reason why the child is a mamzer is not because the malchus, the child's a mamzer because the karis. That's the standard. Yes, Dan.
Why is there not an eish issue with the eish asach?
It means that they're not married anymore.
Okay.
Yes, Akira.
So if the mamzer is a mamzer because of the karis, why isn't the mamzer by nida?
Okay, so I'm giving you a shorthand. We're going to talk about that when we get to Chavtesam and Beis. The mamzer is not mamzer because of karis. The Gemara says that even Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, who says that krisus is the standard, that mamzer comes from chayvei krisus, he's moda by nida. That the child's not a mamzer. Why? Because it says Usaheini Dasala Vafilu Bishas Nindasa Teheba Havaya. The Gemara's Mashma, and that Tosfos is going to talk about this. Really, what creates the lack of tfisas the mamzerus is the lack of tfisas kiddushin. And since by anida, I mean it's a fancy xeris akasa, but pashut that when a woman is anida, kiddushin are tosin. Right, that works kind of on two levels. One is that if you marry a woman, you do kiddushin when she's a nida. The kiddushin are absolutely binding. Even if there's a shaila by chupas nida, where the chupas nida is kona for nisuin, kiddushin by nida are absolutely kona. But even more significantly, the obvious point is that if a woman is married and she becomes a nida, we don't say right now she's not married, that kiddushin are in tosin, and that right now she's single until she goes to the mikveh. Right, and you don't have to do a new kiddushin every time his wife goes to the mikveh. What?
How could kiddushin be tosin d'oraita the only way
The Gemara in Kiddushin says that even a shtar is Doraisa, only Kesef is Divrei Sofrim. For other reasons, the Gemara concludes there has to be another form. And number two, although I like my first answer better, that nonetheless, even though it's Aser, nonetheless, you still be Kona. You could violate an Iser, but you'd still be Kona. And as I think we would say, Alpidin actually, in the Maisa, I suspect that if a man was Ba Alanida L'Shem Kiddushin, she's Mekudeshes, not just Kesef and Shtar. I've never explored that question. It's a good question you're asking, but the Gemara in Kiddushin Dav Tes says Beferush that Kiddushin Shtar is also Daraisa, only Kesef is Midiver Sofrim. Okay, so in fact, you know how you know that it's something almost tangentially learned to our sugyas. How do you ever have a nara marasa besula marasa beskila? If the kiddushin were through bia, she's not a besula. So there has to be something that makes her me'orasa that isn't bia. That's the question that drives the gemara. Okay, so the gemara says b'nesnei chada. Why bother? Why do you need to tell us two? Just tell us, if your purpose in telling us of the details of what happened is so we'll learn another din, like once you're telling the story, you might as well teach as many dinim as you can. So then, why do you need to have both? So the Gemara answers, which in a certain sense then undermines the first point of the Gemara. In other words, if that's what the Maisa was, then you no longer have any proof as to what the standard of Mamzerus is. It could be that Mamzer, what you do know is that Chayvei Krisus is enough to create Mamzerus. We're going to see this again, but I'll say this, and if you hear this four times and you remember that, that's a good thing. There are three shitos in the Mishnah in Yevamos Daf Memtes as to what is the standard for Mamzerus. The Rabbi Akiva says, Chayvei Lavin. I'm simplifying that, but that's the way we usually quote it. It's a little more complex. Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, and we paskin like him, says Chayvei Krisus, and Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanani, or Stam Rabbi Yoshua, says that Chayvei Misus based in. And the Mishnah goes on to quote a Megillah Starim, I think, that Ploni is a Mamzer Me'eshes Ish, and the Mishnah says to prove that Rabbi Yoshua is correct. And the truth is, we don't pass it to Rabbi Yoshua, and it's a terrible proof anyway. I'm not sure what the editor of the Mishnah was thinking. Why is that a proof to Rabbi Yoshua? Everybody agrees that an Ish creates Mamzeres, because Eshes Ish is a Lav, it has Kares, but it also has Mises Beisdin. If you told me that a regular Losase had Mamzeres, so that would prove that we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Right, but telling me the shita that really everybody agrees to, it's not clear. There must have been a reason why the Mishnah thought it was we don't pass it anyway, but thought it was a proof, or was Mekayim Divri Rabbi Yoshua. But the bottom line is that in this case, telling us that someone is a Mamzer Me'eshes Ach, and Me'achoso, whose opinion does it tell you that we reject? With certainty. It tells you that we reject Rabbi Yoshua's opinion. Of course, according to Rabbi Yoshua, there's no Mamzer Me'achoso, there's no Mamzer Me'eshesach. Why? Because there's no Mises based in Aval. It doesn't, however, tell you that we reject Rabbi Akiva's position. Rabbi Akiva does say that the Chayvei Krisus of Arayas, of course the children of Mamzer, not only you have Kares, but you have a Lav. That's all you need is a Lav. So the Raya, the Gemara, the Kamashim of the Gemara is a little strange anyway, but Lamaskana, once the Gemara says that the only reason why they reported the story as they did was because Masa Shaya Kachaya, that was just the way it happened, so we want to be historically accurate for these purposes. So if that's the case, then you don't even know. It could be that you still reject Rabbi Yoshua, but it doesn't tell us at all, you know, what the standards of Mamzeres are. Even if you were right in being Medayik somehow, from the fact that we emphasize that it was Mamzer Me'achoso, that is, Nisari Be'nehem, that Dafka Achoso, but not Chayvei Lavin, that's very nice, but once we say that Masa Shaya Kahaya, all bets are off. Fine. And Rabbah gives a different interpretation of the Safek. Rabbah Amar,
Eved V'Shifta Nitaru
Ben. So he says, no, it wasn't Mamzerus, it was Eved V'Shifcha, and therefore there's a Safek by any given Kuti whether they're in fact an Eved or a Shifcha. So now the Gemara says, right, it's a funny way of formulation, but the Gemara says in this case that what is the psul? What would make kutim a safek? What's the Gemara's question here? When it says isur mishumai mishum shifcha, why does it say mishum shifcha not mishum eved? What's the isur? What's the makor for the isur of shifcha and eved? Last week's parsha. So why does it's really the same issue, it's two halves, it's just the male female. Why does the Gemara say Yisur Mishimai Mishum Shifcha? Nisnechada. Right? The truth is it's very, very misleading. What does list the Hechada mean in the first part of the line?
Why did they say both?
Yes. Teach us which.
You said either of those.
Correct. Now, what does Nishnei Chada mean here? Dafka Shef Hawaii. Because Eved Va'akam Habal Bas Yisrael of Lad is a kosher. The only reason why Kutim would be a suffix in the Yuchsin is if it was a Shifcha, if they came from the Shifcha. Because the Eved wouldn't make any difference, because it was matrilineal descent. But if their mother's 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 mother all the way up was in fact a Shifcha, then they would be a Shifcha. So the reason why there's a psul is not because of Eved v'shifcha. The reason why there's a psul is because of shifcha. When the Gemara says here, Isur mishumai mishum shifcha nisnei chada, it doesn't mean teach us one of them. It means teach us only shifcha. Okay? So the Gemara's answer to Rava is? That's just the way it happened. You're right. In other words, Eved is actually truly extraneous. In the first case, it's not really extraneous, because theoretically, Tumam Zerim makes it that much more likely that the descendants, you know, you could come from two possible family trees and be a Mamzer. Whereas Eved v'Shivcha, the fact that an Eved was Nesarev was totally irrelevant. But in part of the general state, the fact that they weren't careful, let's say, but they do get mitzvahs, so an Eved and a Shivcha married in, and our concern obviously is the Shivcha, but the story was an Eved and a Shivcha. Daniel?
So clearly they must have been assuming at this point that the Kutim weren't marrying other Jews anyway, as much, until they...
Well, even if they were, you still would say, too bad for those people intermarried in them, but the bottom line is, there's an Eved there, you got a Shifcha there, you got to be careful.
Okay.
You see, Sprun?
Presumably, we got a couple of Monzeri running around the general population, why is she deep soul? Because there's one or two Masajaya Kataya,
So, the answer to that question, you could ask the question differently. The Isser has to be the Rabbanon anyway. Why? Because Safek Mamzer is Mutam in the Torah. So the Rabbanon would gozer on them. You know, why? So what is the rule? Why aren't we worried? Why are you allowed to marry when you get married? And you married here? John, you married? Anybody else? Then you're married. Anybody else married here? I'm sorry, Weinreich. If I looked in this Tantale, I would realize you're married. I do know that. Okay, so you're married, right? When you got married, did you do an investigation all the way up to the times of the Shvatim to check that your wife's pedigree was okay? Let them know Mom's heirs, what?
Rabbanu tried.
Spoken as a true cynic. Justified, but nonetheless. So the answer to that question is we're relying upon an overwhelming rove or something like that. The Mishnah is, by the way, in Kiddushin, do talk about being bodek liyosin. There's a machlokas where you have to be bodek in yosin. Today it won't work anymore. We no longer have anyway enough lineage. Kohanim, any Kohanim here? I know I have. Let's see. Who's my Kohanim here? Dovi. Dovi, I know is my Kohen. Do we have another Kohen? Any of the later joiners? Sure, no. So you are the only Kohen. You will all give him your rishis hagez this year. Okay. Okay, if you go to Camp Stone and you shear the sheep, if there are any sheep this year, Rishis Hageis, if it applies in Chutzlaitz, we don't actually apply it, sorry, Dovi. And if you shech the chicken, and the chicken happens to have a Zeroa L'chayayim in Keva, which it doesn't, okay? But then you would give that to Dovi as well, okay? Because he is our Kohen. So, the Kohanim, it's a much bigger problem. So the only reason why, probably, he doesn't have to be Bodek, it depends on which sheet we show him, maybe because he's only a Kohen Chazaka, not a Kohen Miuchas. But at the end of the day, there are requirements for Bedika, which we don't do anymore. But what about, why not suffate? Why not issue a Mamzer? So there is a klal that you should be aware of, that Mamzer shenitma nitma. That once a Mamzer disappears, we're not worried about it, and you're not even supposed to reveal it. That's a complicated issue. Please do not ask me any questions on that. It's a machlokes hatana, and what Eliyahu HaNavi is going to do, whether he's going to be megal them or not. You can look at the last mission, Adios, for the beginning of that discussion. But at the end of the day, the Gemara in Kiddushin does tell a story about how there was one particular family. The Mishnah identifies a family, not by name, who under duress had their under using the threat of violence were forcibly makurav into the community, and their lineage was suppressed so they could marry in. But the Tamid HaChacham, the Mishnah doesn't say it, says Mishpacha Achas, the last Mishnah Adios, but the Gemara Kiddushin says that the Chachamim knew the family, but they would hand it over just to the Talmidim once every
7 years
or something like that. In other words, but you're not supposed to be Megala. You're not supposed to be Megala. Why then? It has since died, so we don't really know, so that's fine. So our Mamzerim of previous generations probably intermarried into the community. We don't know who they are, and so be it. Okay.
Why don't you say the same thing here?
So that goes back to my original point. It's not necessarily midin daraisa that you can't marry kutim. It's maybe a din derabanan. They were choshesh because of.
No, but I'm saying, why can't you have the same sort of thing where, like, oh, well, we're going to try to intermarry them?
Or so I said. So the answer is, there are two possible answers. One is because they are a discrete group that you can identify and limit the safek in the group. That's one possibility. But I think the more likely possibility, the whole did here has to be the rabbanon. If safek mamzer is mutam min haTorah, yeah, then the fact that we asked safek mamzer mid the rabbanon would apply here as well. It's exam mid the rabbanon. Why they made it was probably because the kutim were already on their own track. I mean, look, they I don't want to say they worship a different god, but they have a temple in a different place, so they basically became their own religion. I mean, I think that's really what happened, that Gazru ultimately, Gazru Aleim Leos Kigoyim Gemurim. They're another religion, they're another people, they're not part of us. Yes?
Yeah, how does it make sense that I even bring in Mamzer, like the Gezer and Mamzer, because of Mamzer is on a Derabanan level, if we already know that at Derek, that points out that it's okay? And why, like, there must be a different reason as to why.
But what they were goes there generally on Safek Mamzer. I think there's a stronger reason here than just Safek Mamzer. In other words, this goes beyond Safek Mamzer. This is really, there's a Mamzer someone amongst them, we don't know where it is. That's maybe less the Safek Mamzer. It's clear the Chachamim, look, they were a separate community, that's clear. They probably.
Did they make them that way by separating them from marriage?
I think my sense of the history, some of you may know it a little better, is that they already really were a separate group. Going back to the time Alexander already. Yeah. Going back to the time of Alexander the Great already.
I think like one told on the other, like to
in the Nechemia, you mean? Well, yeah, we can't identify, we and I spoke about this, they're not clearly identifiable as a specific group in the Nechemia, they're just the enemies. Sarei Yehuda and Binyamin. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. In the time of Alexander, it's clear they are they're two different peoples. And so how much.
Even in the New Testament, it's very clear, because why do we have the story of the Good Samaritan?
Because the Jews didn't stop. I know, okay. You guys know what the story of the Good Samaritan is?
It
wasn't anti-Semitic. Is an anachronistic term. There, it was that somebody needed help, and no Jews passed by and didn't stop. But Samaritans, I guess, who were regarded as sort of peripheral, marginal, the Samaritan stopped to help, and hence the term Good Samaritan.
Good Samaritan.
Yeah. Okay. That's a Shomroni. Yes. Weinreich, on you. That was yours. Okay. Okay. So fine. So now let's do quickly the Gemara in Chulin. Again, I think that on some level, the Gzeira here, Mid the Rabbanon, and the Gzeira to declare them as Goyim, on some level, reflected almost the reality that was there already. What?
That they're separate.
That they're separate already? That was already clear, you know, before, long before the time of Mishnah, and at some point, the Chachamim regarded them as basically belonging to a different religion. They worshipped, they may have been monotheist technically, in reality, but they worshipped in a different place. Remember, they had a different Torah, right? The Samaritan Pentateuch. It's this, obviously, you can see that many of the differences between the Samaritan Pentateuch and the Masoretic text, let us say, are secondary. You can, you know, every time they change to Hamakom Asher Yivchar to Hamakom Asher Bochar, so that's obviously secondary. Even scholars of all persuasions will acknowledge that the original text is Yivchar.
They changed it?
They changed it. Yep. They changed the text. The Samaritans, they didn't change only ideological things. The Samaritans edited the text in the sense that you find a lot of leveling. When you have passages in the Torah that are, you know, I'll give you an example that we touched upon. I never checked the Samaritan, but it's one of those odd things. I don't remember Baal Peh which is which. By the Ones, it says, by the Motzi Shemar, it says, Lo Yuchal Lishalacha Koyamav. By the Mefateh, by the Ones, it says, Lo Yuchal Shalacha koyamav, without the lamed. And either one is grammatically fine. That's the kind of thing that if you were to look in the Samaritan Pentateuch, my bet would be, I'm not saying that's the example, it's the kind of thing they would put a lamed on both of them, or no lamed on either, and they sort of level one for the other. When you have passages in two places in Chumash that deal with the same issue, you'll find where the Targumim, for example, will put the two together, but that's interpretation. In the Samaritan Pentateuch, they'll have been leveled. Right? Because God said the same thing, and the law is the same law, so therefore they should read the same way. John?
Their claim is that they're returning to its original form, correct?
I'm sure. Right. I'm sure they say that. But in other words, from a detached scholarly perspective, it's clear that it's secondary. You know, for starters, there would have been no reason to use the circumlocution of Amakom Asher Bachar when it was chosen already. Right? It was Amakom Asher Bachar because it wasn't chosen yet. All right. So anyway... but that's clear in many, many other places. It's a pattern. So they have a different Torah, which is very similar, but still differences. Some major, some are, you know, the other kinds. A leveling of tents is more minor in substance. They're not marrying one another. They have a temple on Har Gerizim, not the temple in Jerusalem. So at some point, they're another nation. Interestingly enough, just a note on the Karayim for a moment. I went looking for Kutim. I couldn't find anything in the Tshuvas, modern Tshuvas. I assume the Samaritans are regarded as not Jewish. If somebody is aware of something else, please bring it to my attention. Regards to the Karayim, I didn't get a chance to go through Chacham Avad Yosef's Tshuva. The Tzitz Eliezer has a very long Tshuva about this, and he says absolutely not. He said the long tradition of Psak is to regard the Karayim as they're Jewish, but Safek Mamzerim, they're Asur Bakal. We don't marry amongst them. So I haven't seen Chacham Avad Yosef's Tshuva yet, but that's just because the Bar Ilan search, Tzitz Eliezer was higher up, so when the search came up, you know, I got through that Tshuva. I was looking for Kutim, I wasn't looking for Karayim, but when he talks about one of the Tshuvas, I happened to see, so anyway.
It just seems very strange that they keep on going to that Safek Mamzeres. I mean, if we already know that Alpi on a direct level, it doesn't matter.
I agree. So again, I think it was more of a takana to reinforce already the existence of separation. It's the Rabbanon. Yeah. So they hang it on Safek Mamzerus. That's all.
Why don't they choose Mamzerus? You could use so many other things now.
Well, what else would you use?
You could just...
What would passel somebody from Marian? Mamzerus is the obvious one.
They're not religious? Aren't there like issues with being not observant?
No. I mean, it's very hard. Listen, if you want to marry someone who's not from, but they will go to the mikveh, and you kind of aid them for that because they don't have nemonos, and you don't want to eat their food, you know, you're in charge of the kitchen, and you keep it on, I'm joking with you, you keep it on a double lock. You can, you know, it's not, I don't recall seeing this here. I've gotten shilas from Eretz Yisrael, you know, at least in one case, and I think it's not a unique case. Well, you have a couple married, but one is from, one is not from. Yeah. It's much harder here, I think, than in Israel. It's difficult, but there's no equiv in the kiddushin. Exactly. I'm not encouraging that. I wouldn't suggest you go out and look for an non-from girl to marry. I'm just saying the kiddushin or tosin, there's no iser per se. It's just hard to function to live from when one partner isn't from. Yeah.
There's a column in one
No, that means for the purposes of Eidos and the purposes maybe once upon a time for Yayin and Shlita. What? I'm telling you, Kiddushin Artosin, Kiddushin Artosin, Ger Shechazar Lesuro, a non-Jew who converts and then goes back and reverts and worships Avodah Zarah, his Kiddushin are still Kiddushin, they're Tosin, you need to get. A Chal Shabbos cannot be worse than that. I don't know what the Isser is. There's nowhere, I'm pretty sure it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch or in the Gemara you can't marry such a person. It's not advisable if you want to be from it. Just saying it's not an Isser of a love of Bakal. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's highly inadvisable under almost all circumstances. Yeah. But it's not an Isser, it's not a Shulchan Aruch Isser. It just makes your life exceedingly, exceedingly complicated.
And with anger for your kids.
Okay, so you have already a custody agreement of how you raise the children, you know. And I understand, it's ridiculous. It's very, to get someone's bechlal and machal shabbos for hesed and someone who's from it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I know that in this day and age, you know, with shidduch resumes and why you connect and you fill out things, you identify yourself, are you modern Orthodox machmir, are you modern Orthodox, are you left-leaning and so on, and people can get crazy and I can't date a girl if she's not going to do X, or I can't date a guy if he's not going to do Y. You know, you can have slight differences, you know. If he wears white shirts and if he wears blue shirts and she, no, not today, and she prefers white shirts, you could go out on a date at least, you know. You know, he could wear a blue and white shirt on the date. So again, as far from Hilchos Kiddushin perspective, there's no issue. Adobe, you're the man today. Okay. A Kohen marrying blue and white. Okay. So the bottom from my point simply was from the perspective, Zach, of Hilchos Kiddushin, there's no problem of a marriage between someone from not from, but the Kutim, Safek Mamzerus is the way you do it. Okay, because you can't label the Chalalim, which is more complicated anyway, it doesn't do you any good. It's not a Psul Kahal. Right, so what else is there? You know, evident Shifcha is actually a stretch in certain ways. I mean, you could, but basically outside of that, Shtuki and Asufi, everything below, there's basically after Chalal, those who are after Ger and Meshuchar, which are not Psulim, you have Mamzere, Nisine, Shtuke, and Asufe. That's what you have. Right? So Shtuke and Asufe are both kinds of Sapik, the Rabbanans of a Mamzer. And nasan is a nasan. We know what a nasan is. Well, we know what the sheet that's about a nasan is. So that's your choice. That's all you have. That's the only card they have in their deck. Safik mamzeres. So Gemara in Chulin, the other Yitzi. In fact, you were the one I called on, but Yitzi Sprung was so eager, so I let it go. He started reading, and it wasn't your voice, and I was like, okay. I looked that way, and two Yitzis in the line of fire. Go ahead. Yitzi R. You're only one letter apart in the alphabet, too.
Okay. I'm a Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yidi. I'm a Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. I'm a Shulam Bar Kippurah. Rabbi Gamliel, who based Tinu Nimu, Ashkita Skuti Vasura.
Okay. So basically, Bar Karpara said that Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din, I assume Rabbi Gamliel of Yavne, did a ruling on the Shechita of a Kuti and they banned it. In other words, here's the basic din. A Jew, Shechita must be done by someone who's a Bar Zvicha. A Bar Zvicha, to keep matters simple for the moment, is someone who's Jewish. Maybe Yechayev and Mitzvahs, maybe not. The whole discussion about Cheir Shota, but Pashtus is, it doesn't really matter. Anybody who's Jewish can do Shechita if they do the Shechita properly. Now, the part of the question is, can you rely upon doing the Shechita properly? So if a Cheir Shota Nekat on Shech and you don't see it, Shechita is no good, because it's Chazaka that they Mekalkal the Shechita. But if you are watching them and you know Shechita and you observe that they do a proper Shechita, then the Shechita is fine. Okay. True for all Jews.
A woman, for sure.
The Ramah says the minhag is woman didn't Shech. But it's Shechita is 100% Kshir if a woman does it. Akiva?
What if you're watching someone who's non-Jewish?
However, if a non-Jew does it, the Shechita is a Nevela, because he's not Mechoyev, not prohibited Nevela, he's not a Bar Zvicha, and therefore even if you watch his Shechita being done correctly, it's a Nevela. There's a Rambam, it might be in Hilchos Sharav Satumos, or it might be in Hilchos Machalos Asuros, or both places. The Rambam is mashma that if a guy who's not an Oved Avodah Zarah, the nevela, it's only nevela midrabanan. Okay, but most assume it's nevela min haTorah. It's not that he did anything wrong. It's just that in order to do shechita, you have to be mitzuva in eating basar shechuta. Now, what about a kuti? So a kuti, if he's Jewish, the only shy and kutim presumably would have some kind of shechita. The Torah does talk about shechita, certainly in the context. It talks about it in the context of kachim and in the context of chulin, basar, what we call basar taiva, if you want to call it that. So the kutim do shechita. The only problem, according to the Gemara, with kutim is that they have no qualms about feeding someone else non-kosher meat. Why? Because they read lifnei iver literally. And therefore, me giving you non-kosher meat doesn't violate lifnei iver. If I put a stumbling block in front of you, that's lifnei iver. Okay? Therefore, what do you need to do with a kuti? You need to do one of two things. You either need to watch him do the shechita, or you have to make him eat a piece. If either of those two happen, so then if a kuti is Jewish, this is not mine, the Gemara points this out. Is machilo kazayis, if the kuti eats it, you know it's kosher. You know? It's like, that's like a king has it. Well, king has a taster, right? Notice the taster doesn't drop dead. So then you know with the food's not poisoned. Yes?
We assume that the only reason that Jews don't give each other non-kosher meat is because of the
king. Yes. So the reason why. Okay. Well, what would the be? You know, if not, what would the Isser be?
You're not concerned about.
Listen,
the Hamdan thing that Jews were concerned about other Jews doing.
Of course. The assumption is, I know this runs contrary to all of what you see in this country, but if you have a firm Jew who is the owner and proprietor of an establishment, and he's there all the time, and he's the one single employee. I mean, even if he's not the only employee, you don't need a hashgacha if he's a firm Jew. If he's doing shechita on premises, if he's doing shechita on his animals, he needs to have kabbalah on shechita. You need to know that he has it, that he's a baki in shechita.
Like
you do not need an eid echonem and bisurin. The assumption behind that is, look, if there were no isser in my feeding you treif meat, because then for my bottom line, why wouldn't I do it? And the truth is, we might say, look, what, you're not doing anything wrong either because you're shogeg. And if it's not something that involves kareis, so it's not clear what exactly is the avera. Now, chaylev is one thing. But it's still, you know the way it works, even when things are usher, right? Business is business. So look, my bottom line counts. So that's why we're sometimes concerned about people have a financial incentive in something. Nonetheless, fundamentally, Erech HaNem and Bisur, right? If someone is Bodek Trefos, and the Braisa says, I think it's quoted in, I don't know if it's quoted or part of the Braisa is quoted in the 13th Perek of Aram Masechta. If he takes money, he's allowed to take money to inspect your animal, whether it's a treif or not. But he's only allowed to do that if he takes money on the animal, on every animal that he looks at. If he's only going to take money on the animals that he declares kosher, but not on the one that he declares treif, he's not neman. He loses neman. That's why, because he has a financial interest in order to say it's kosher, because otherwise he won't make his money, which raises profound questions in general about the whole enterprise of hashgacha, because if you pull the hashgacha, you lose the money. Right? It's an interesting question. There's got to be an answer to it. But bottom line is, the reason why a Jew doesn't feed another Jew stuff is because l'fnei b'lusitei mishal. I think that there's something beyond that too. I understand that. But the point is, kutim couldn't be trusted. And therefore, but if he eats one kazayis from it, so you can be, then it's fine. Or if you watch him shecht it. So when, yeah. What? I think the Gemara probably says kazayis. I don't know if, what do they hold? Because he didn't hold the chatzi shir. Okay, very good. Fine. Okay. So, now, the Gemara, so Rabbi Gamaliel basically prohibited the shechit of a kuti. There are two possibilities. What are the two possibilities here? Possibility one, which is not the likely one, but that's what one of them thought, is that they prohibited it when nobody else was there. So the Gemara is going to assume that's ridiculous. You don't need Rabbi Gamaliel based dinah to prohibit that. The kuti doesn't have nemonos. And in fact, Zach, as I'm thinking more and more about your question, it's you ask a fascinating question. To some extent, it seems, you may not be wrong. I mean, you're disturbed by it, but you might be right. Is it possible that part of the chazaka of Nemonos for Eidechanam and Bisurin is that he wouldn't lie because Lefnei Iver lo sitein mechshol? It's a very interesting. I never thought about that. What you said is actually, I know you're bothered by it, but that is a very possibly profound conceptual statement. I'm not going to go further on that now. Just file that away, but very good. So the obvious thing is what must they have prohibited? What would they likely have prohibited? Even when Yisrael omen al gabav, and if that's the case, what was really the takana of Rabbi Gamaliel's based in?
They're not Jewish.
Yeah. So anyway, Amar le Reb Zera, Reb Yaakov Bar Yidi, go ahead.
Shema lo shama Rabbi Ella be'en Yisrael omen al gabav.
So he said to Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, he said, Rebbe, maybe you only heard this case when Yisrael is not Omid al Gabav. So he responded to a student,
This is the way
I should insult my students. Dami hay marabanan kidalog mi reshmaitza. Right? This young Tom was like, you never learned anything. Okay, so he said, that makes no sense. B'she'en
Yisrael
al Gabav. Of course, you don't have to tell us that. We know that that's also already because he doesn't believe in the favor, so you can't trust him. Okay, so obviously it must refer to actually asking it like Shechitas Goy. So my time, skip the smoke. My time, Gazubu Rabbanon. Gazubu
Rabbanon. Kiha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar
Shadre Rabbi Meir. Okay, so he sent him to get wine from Kutim,
right.
Which is not crazy when you read the Mishnah. Halokeach Yaim Iben Akutim is a Mishnah, I think, in Demai. Okay, so you have he said Ashkechei. My betting, if I were taking the betting line, who was Ahusaba?
Yeah,
he does say that. I didn't realize that. I said Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay, found him. Amarlei. Misamta Sakin Beloecha. In Bal Nefesh Shata, this is the only occurrence of Sakin, and by the way, there's a mistake in the Gemara. The text is with a sin, yes. Okay? Which just shows you that printers are not careful and scribes weren't careful when they copied. This does not mean that the Gemara had a different version of the text in front of it. It's just a scribal error. What? I really think so. Because in Rabbinic Hebrew and Aramaic, all the sins go to Samachs, pretty much.
All the sins go to Samachs?
Yes, that's standard. And therefore, you cannot bring a Raya Kihuzet from the printed text here, and even if all the manuscripts read this way, that they had a pasuk spelled that way in front of them. Don't even bother.
So why would this be a scribal error then? It seems to be a language conversion.
Well, I know, but you're quoting a pasuk, so we prefer to quote the pasuk in the original, spelled the way the original way. It's, they just weren't careful about quoting psukim. That's the way it is. Maybe not. Balatos would say the Amal Rhyme sometimes also created psukim hybrids, so they weren't careful in citation, but I would just say the scribes, in terms of copying, they weren't careful. So you'll get extra letters in there, you'll get, you know, change like this. It just happens. It tells you nothing about the state of the original biblical text. For those who've taken Intro to Bible and remember it, so you know that there are cases, there's a long Tosus and there's a long Ki Vega and Shabbos and Hammond Bays, where he collects all the examples starting with that Gemara there, where it's clear from the Medrash. It's clear from the Medrash that Chazal had on a word that they had it spelled differently. But you can only prove it when the drasha itself demonstrates that they had a different text. But if it's just the spelling in the printed text, don't prove anything. It means nothing. Okay, so anyway, he told them, it's a pasuk for Mishlei, which says, when you eat king and when you eat break bread with a king, you better be very polite in your table manners. If you're a Baal Nefesh, if you have a big appetite, you know, and you're going to eat like a glutton, and it's not a good idea to do that in the presence of the king, so stick a knife in your throat, okay, or in your mouth. So you'll eat carefully, you'll eat slowly. That's what the pasuk means. V'samta sakin below echa im bal nefeshata. So here, what was the Hausaba telling him? It's not kosher. Not kosher. So halach, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, this happens. So what does he do? He goes... He told Rabbi Meir what happened. So what happened? So Rabbi Meir was gozer. He took this as a simon that you can't drink the wine of the kutim because their wine should be treated as yai nesach. Okay, and the bar says in my time. They found the image of a Yonah, which is a really interesting choice. Why is that? That's Hararat.
I know.
Klal Yisrael is Meshula Leona.
Yeah, but
where?
What's that? Well, they can't worship an image. Doesn't matter what it is. Why do I think they choose that? Because it suggests that to me, you could read this metaphorically as Chazal filling this in this way because they're serving the Jews.
I'm sure someone and not
that
they're actually serving
No. I'm just saying why the... In other words, again, I have my questions about the story, historicity, because we know the Samaritans. Even it's clear from the Gemara, this was not the norm. Right, it was a miuta, but I think there may be a literary choice here of Yonah because it's an interesting suggestion. That's all.
Even in the Gemara, isn't it odd that it said the reason almost? I mean, the story had a different reason, and then he asked for my taima.
No, so
the Husaba told them.
Right. In other words, the reason why they would go there is Kahusaba, and why did he tell him? What was the concern? You know.
It's not actually finding.
No, I mean, it may have been they investigate. It's hard to tell. It's Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who's a fourth generation Babylonian Amora, quoting a tradition. I don't know what he means by it. Right, so Matzu lahem demosiona, marash hagrizim sho'ov denosa. Now, the Gemara knows, this I think they know immediately. They're not really mostly idol worshippers. Maybe some are. So we're finished. Rabbi Meir the Tameh. Rabbi Meir Shita, generally, this is complicated, because even Rabbi Meir knows that Achai Rabba Mahatos, right? So Rabbi Meir is Choshe Shlemi Uta in many cases, and therefore he was Choshe Shir to treat them as Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And as I pointed out earlier this week, it can't exactly be a Chumrah, because otherwise you'd only take the Chumrah, you wouldn't take the Kulas. In other words, you can't be Mekil to treat him as a guy if this were really the case. Rabbi Meir's Choshesh Lemiuta doesn't ignore the Ruba. He's Choshesh even for the Miut. It doesn't mean he ignores the Rub. So then there's, you know, I'm not sure why the Gemara presents it, but there's something else going on. And they would decided the Samaritans were no longer part of the Jewish people, they were a separate nation, separate religion, and therefore they were sort of outside. I suspect that there's more than the Gemara is telling us in the story, but it will remain, you know, shrouded in the mysteries of the past. Yes.
They still converted.
Maybe they decided once they saw them. The decision was, since they were worshiping Avodah Zarah, they never really converted in the first place, like Geri Arayos. And as you could read it, as they decide they were really Geri Arayos, and Rabbi Shmuel was correct. If you read Rabbi Yishmael the way most Rishonim read him, I don't really have an answer to the question. I can ask 30 questions on this because it doesn't, you know, in the normal halacha categories, it doesn't really follow in a certain way. So that's why I think that there's sort of more to this story than here. But the bottom line, and I make another note: we don't really paskin like Rabbi Meir. We paskin like the Chachamim. We're not choshesh for miuta. We're only choshesh generally in halacha for miut hamatzui. Rabbi Meir is choshesh even for miut chena matzui. You know where Rabbi Meir's shita is from? Ilonis. The din is, we'll speak more about Yibum, but Yibum is done. Yes, Yibum is done on a brother's wife. The halacha is that you can do Yibum. You can't do chalitza with a ketana, but you do Yibum with a ketana. Chalitza requires das. The ketana doesn't have it. Yibum doesn't require das. Right? Yibum, even when done, ba'ones, ba'shogeg, you know, ba'taos, the act of Yibum done creates marriage with the brother's wife. You can divorce her now if you want, but the Yibum works without, doesn't require any das, it just requires a maisa. It requires kavana for bia, probably, and that's it. So Ramir says you're not allowed to do Yibum on a katana. You know why? Because it might turn out she'll grow up and it turns out she's an Ilonis, this woman who never will reach puberty, and an Ilonis is excluded from the parsha, ha'bachor asher teleid prat la'ilonis. A woman who has infertility issues is not an Ilonis necessarily, but it's a specific kind. So Rameir says that you can't do Yibam on a Ketana, because maybe, and probably a Katan also can't do Yibam separate, so he might turn out to be a Saris, and she might turn out to be an Ilonis. An Ilonis is a Mir Cheno Matzah. You know, Rameir was Choshish for it. So from there, they extrapolate a general sheet of Rameir is Choshish for Mirta. We don't Paskin that way. We don't hold Chashin for a Mir Cheno Matzah. We're Choshish for Mir HaMatzah, probably Mir Rabbanon. So, yet we paskin the Kutamar and Jewish. So, there's something more. We're not going to know the answer to the question. The bottom line is the Gemara says, they're goyim. Period.
In that case, the Katan and Katana have to do Yibum.
What's that?
The Katan and Katana.
Well, I mean, if you had such a case today, the Katana would wait, since we don't do Yibum, would wait till she reached Bat Mitzvah. The truth is, it's not a big deal. It's only a big deal if you're concerned about the brother-in-law who would do it going away and leaving and not being found, you know, being alive but not found again. But assuming that that's not your concern, you know, if he dies, it's not a problem. If there are no brothers left alive to do, then she's not asura. And otherwise, you would wait till she reaches the age of 12. It's not. It doesn't exist anymore because we don't marry ketanos. So, but even if we did, you just wait till the age of 12. If you didn't want to do Yibum, then you would wait till she turned to Bat Mitzvah. All right, Weinreich.
In such a case, came into Kandar and Gershom, we let the brother-in-law get married. That's before they'd done Chalit, while he was waiting for her to be ready.
Don't ask me that question. I don't know. There's a Shaila, Samachachme Svara, the Rashba. They don't know, we don't really know of the details of Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. In other words, there are Haramim attributed, we don't have the original proclamation. We assume, by the way, that the Chaim against divorcing one's wife is still in effect. The Chaim against polygamy expired in the year 5000. Which means that, but the minhag is still not to marry more than one wife. It's not really technically in violation of the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. It's Usser. It is Usser for Ashkenazim, but... because the minhag, the Rama writes that the minhag was, I mean, it's before the Rama's time. And as the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, if again, we don't have the original Nusach, only going for 5,000 years, until the year 5,000, expired in about the year 1240. You know, not so, you know, 200 years or 200 plus years after it was promulgated, but the Rama's writing 300 years later, it's still our practice, even though we don't allow it. The reason why it matters that it expired, whereas the Chayim against divorcing a wife against her will did not expire, is that we would faster write, you know, the Hetamei Rabbanim basically says, if your wife won't, you know, accept the get when she's b'chuyevis to accept the get, rather than figuring out a way to force her to take the get and ignore that Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, we let you you're mafakeh a get, you have to write a get and leave it with the Beis Din, and then you can marry another wife. So in other words, we do permit the husband taking a second wife and violate that Chayim, because it's not a Chayim anymore, rather than being garish bal karcha. Of course, only if he gives a get. If he doesn't give a get, then he's just a bigamist in halacha, and that's awesome. Okay. Anyway, if you wanted more on that, look at the last Rama in the first Simon Eben Ezer. That's where it is. That's where it's discussed.
Wait, the issue of polygamy that Eben Ezer.
Oh, so I'm sorry. So the Rashba writing about it says that he thinks maybe it doesn't apply to Malkum Mitzvah like Yibum. Right? Probably the practice, and Ashkenazim didn't do Yibum either. And I don't know if that was because very often Yibum, not always, but often entired, entailed taking a second wife, or sort of a separate issue. They were Choshesh Veshitas Abashal, that if you do it Shalosh Shem Shemayim, it's like Pogeb Erva. Whatever it is, but the Rashba is writing about it. He doesn't really know the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom. He says that Nistama doesn't apply, you know. He went to Ben Machor and Ben Machor Mitzvah. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry, Lagan.
Yes, so you said there was an expiration date to the issue on polygamy?
Yes. But Minhag Ashkenaz was to continue observing the Chayrim.
And do you know what the deal is with the Sephardim?
Well, Sephardim don't hold of the Chayrim Rabbeinu Gershom, period.
Oh, they don't. So then where's the issue of marrying two women?
There isn't for Sephardim.
There's none.
Eli didn't know about this. Okay, there you go.
I thought we went according to the Minhag Gershom.
No. And I don't know what Sephardim do today. Look, a lot happened. Midinat Yisrael's rule. Look, here's the bottom line. if you want to move back to Yemen, then you can take more than one wife, right? In Israel, it's not allowed. They allowed people who came originally, who came from the Muslim world, who had more than one wife. They were allowed, I believe the law was in Israel, they were allowed to remain married, but no, you know, once you were in Israel, you could not take another wife. And in this country, polygamy is, it's not actually, and correctly so, it's not prohibited, it's just not recognized by the law. If you apply for a second marriage license, you know, when you already are married, so you're breaking the law, but if you want to have multiple wives, I think they just struck down the law in Utah, correctly so. I'm not in favor of polygamy, but in Utah, it was illegal to be married and be living with another woman as if she were your wife. So that was struck down. You have to actually be technically try to marry in order to violate the bigamy or polygamy statutes. But in this country, you also can't. You can live with two women, but you can't. You won't be legal to be married with them. But I guess the Sfaradim technically and Temanim can marry two wives. Okay. But remember, I'm not going to repeat it now. But you remember the only joke that I'm allowed to tell. Okay, about the definition, and even though it's a little misogynist, about the definition of bigamy and monogamy. Okay, if you remember that joke, and I'll remind you later if you don't remember it, so then you'll know. Well, I don't bother. Yes, Zach.
You think it's wrong for the married woman to have two wives?
If it's not illegal to sleep with someone, if there's no law, you know, if adultery statutes have basically disappeared and there's no law against living with someone when you're not married to them, so how is it usur to be married to one woman and if your wife consents to be, you know, also have a girlfriend? What basis? That's already becomes the state. What?
Open relationship.
Yeah, we have all sorts of disgusting and abominable, you know, moral things. So that's going to be usur when they're married when he's because it's a religious thing. That's really you know, curbing someone's religious rights. Correctly so. I think the court decision was right. I'm not in favor of polygamy. But as long as this, in other words, if it's your private practice, then that's your issue. Absolutely. I don't see why that. Again, I'm not in favor of that. It's culturally foreign to pretty much almost everybody in this country, but we allow lots of crazy things, right? So, and there's no law against it. So why should you discriminate against someone because that's their religious belief that you should have multiple wives? So the state should just say, we don't recognize multiple wives. You can marry one woman, one at a time, and be married to one at a time, and we don't recognize your marriage. If your wife doesn't care, you can do all sorts of things with, you know. If your wife doesn't care and you're bisexual, so you can have a male wife if you want. Now, you know, I don't know if the statutes have been updated to reflect that, but presumably, you know, that would also be considered bigamy, you know, in the world in which we live. But the bottom line is that as long as, you know, secular law should relate to secular marriage. And so, okay, anyway, so...
Why should secular law care?
Enough! You know, I have to soon stop taking questions and the only digressions in my mind. Like, you guys, I'll say something. If it's not on topic, don't go asking more questions about it. Just enjoy the little tidbits if you enjoy them. And let me go, please. Okay. I know all of Torah is interconnected and all of Machshava, but we're learning Subos. We're trying to, at least. We're pretending to. All right. So anyway, so the Gemara then goes to talk about the history of the Gzeira. The rest of it is not important for our purposes just right now. So the bottom line is the Gemara Chulin says they eventually made Goyim. Now, I made one comment that I want to go back to yesterday, just as the entree to the last part. I asked you, how did Rashi, I didn't tell you this, the Gemara started out in Kiddushin Ayin Vav, trying to explain Rabbi Lazar's Shita by stating that Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Yishmael that the Kutim are Gerei Arayos, and he holds like Rabbi Akiva, Legabe Eved Va'akum Abal Bas Yisrael. And the Gemara seems to know then already, and as it says later, that Rabbi Akiva holds their Gerei Emes. Rashi writes on top of Ayinamid Beis, Lois Pari Shecha. I don't know where we know that Rabbi Yishmael holds that the Gerei Arayos, and he doesn't say it, by extension Rabbi Akiva is the Gerei Emes. It says at the bottom of the page, but we don't know what the makor for that is. In other words, what the Amoraim say, Shalosh Machlokas V'davar, Rabbi Yishmael says Gerei Arayos, Rabbi Akiva says Gerei Emes. How do we know that Rabbi Akiva held that the Kutim are Gerei Emes? So Rashi says, Los Parashecha, I know exactly how we know that the Kutim are Gerei Emes according to Rabbi Akiva. And it's on the last page of the Mari Makomas, which I'm not going to read at all. According to the Mishnah, what is the status of Kutim, Jewish or non-Jewish? Jewish, to a T. Every single Mishnah, I believe, assumes that the Kutim are halachically Jewish. Who are the authors of the Mishnah, of our Mishnah? Rabbi Akiva Stima saw, as the Gemara in Bina Megillah on the first Amud says. It's the way Rashi explains all the Stams. You have our, well, maybe not true of all the Midrash Halacha, but the Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, the Tanaim who are mentioned in the Mishnah, or Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva might be one of the most frequently mentioned Tanaim. The Mishnah is Mishnas Rabbi Akiva. It is the Torah of Rabbi Akiva and his students. And thus, if the Kutim throughout the Mishnah appears Geira Emes, it's a reasonable assumption to make that Rabbi Akiva holds that Kutim Geira Emes. I think that's pretty reasonable. And then, if you want to take the next step, you could just say that if it's a machlokas, then it's from, if you're going to, again, then they must have more information than just this. Machlokas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, now we know Rabbi Shmuel holds as well. That's my guess. I can't prove that. Fine. So now, having said that, we have one last source, important source to look at, and that is our Mishnah, Rashi, and Tosfos. So the Mishnah lists Kutis. Rashi writes, we may have read this, let's read it one more time. Yitzi, read Rashi, and then we'll pick someone else for Tosos.
Rashi?
Mm-hmm. Kutis.
The silver gear arrives there.
Okay, so there are two ways of reading Rashi. One of them, which is the normal way to read Rashi, which is the way Tosfos read Rashi, raises a very fundamental question, a problem. What? How do you read Rashi? What does he mean? What? But Geira Arayos means what? They're Geira Arayos, therefore? They're not Jewish, and therefore there's a violation of Los Ischatein Bam in having intercourse with them. Okay, which raises two problems. One is not my problem. One is that this is not chitun. This is just bia. This is onei so mefata.
How did you get the knas?
What? I'm sorry?
How did you get the knas?
So the second part is that, fine, let's grant that when, let's assume that he takes an expansive view of los hischaten and refers even to bia with a nachri, since using the kashi Rava asked, there's no hischatnus, so what is the Torah prohibiting? So the answer would be, it's prohibiting bia. Right, the Rambam says it prohibits living derech asnos, living as if you're married, acting as if you're married, but Rashi could say, therefore it must refer to the act of bia, not like the Lishna Basarava, but not the way the Rambam means sort of Lishna Kam. Fine. But the problem is, she's a Goya. How do you give her a knas? The Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph says that how you wouldn't give a ger katan a knas if the ger katan, the katana, a ger katana, yoris katana, shouldn't be able to collect the knas if she could be mocha when she reached bat mitzvah, and then she would be not Jewish and she would be going eating the knas that she received. In other words, she would get a knas even though she's a goya. So it's b'mashma that you can't. There's no knas if she's not Jewish. So that's the problem with Rashi. What's the other way of reading Rashi, which solves all problems, but it's kind of hard to believe, but maybe it's not impossible?
He holds like the Ravid.
Right? In other words, Kutis, and it would solve a lot of problems. It would say that there is an Isser of Bia with a Kutis, because Kutis is Geir Arayus. Geir Arayus are Geirim. Halacha is that Kulam are Geirim, but they're a half Geir. They're Chayiv entire Mitzos, but they're also lavo bakahal until they do another gerus. So Rashi could be saying that, and that is los ischatein bam. In other words, it's an iser by someone who's Jewish, called in this case a kutis instead of nesina. And Rashi might hold that nesinim is only gzera drabanan, that nesinim don't fit in this category, because maybe nesinim you would say are good men at Torah. Why? Because they didn't worship avodah zarah. They stopped worshiping avodah zarah. They may have converted out of fear, but they weren't not actually converting and believing in one God. Whereas you might say that the real quasi geirim are not the nesinim midoraisa, but the real doraisa los ischatein bam are on the true geirayus who didn't really, they only half converted because they serve God and they serve the other God. So if Rashi understood conceptually what the way the Ravid did about Nesinim, and he uses the term, the Ravid does use the term, Geir Arayos, said he could be applying that to Kutim only. Yes, sure.
Here he says something similar.
He says it here on Kutis?
On Rashi, on Kutis, he says that it's because Rashi holds that they are Geirim, Emes, in the way that they have, they're high to 613 mitzvos, but that we have an issue of dealing with them.
Fine. Okay. So I find that hard to believe. That's what Rashi meant, but I we never thought of that. If not for knowing Shitas Chachmei Provence, but we could explain Rashi that way. That would solve all those other problems. She's Jewish. She's Jewish. Not a problem. If you hold that Los Ischatein Bam applies Bigerusan, what is the prohibition of Los Ischatein Bam? Is it marrying them or having bia?
Marrying them.
with a Nesina who's converted already, for those who hold this Daraisa? The answer is it's Bia. It's not just marriage. Even without marriage, most of the, almost all of the Arayos in Isurei Bia, it makes no difference whether you marry them or not. In fact, usually the way we hold, the Kiddushin itself is not even the Isur. The Isur is the Bia. Okay, so Rashi, so if once you hold Los Ischatin Bam is Bigerusan, then it certainly has to be an Isur Bia. It might be, you can't marry them either because the Bia with that. But the bottom line is that it's an Isur Bia, solves all the kashas in Rashi. It's from. The problem is that you're right, except that, firstly, he shouldn't have said Gerei Arayos, because that Gemara, the Pashtus, would be, I mean, what the Gemara understands conceptually, I don't know, but the Gemara started with an assumption they were Jewish, and then they changed their status. So it's funny to use the term Gerei Arayos if that's what you're thinking. Whereas if you think they're originally Gerei Arayos, I mean, the truth is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, they never made Gzeira against them, because they always were Gerei Arayos. I don't know what to do. But again, if you say that it's like the maskana, here's the problem. I don't think the maskana of the Gemara is that they're only goyim midrabanan. Despite that, the fact that it says that, you know, gozar alem yeska goyim grum hold avrayim, gozar, but it's a declaration, it's not a gzera midrabanan. And even though the reasons the Gemara give is chayish lamiyuta, again, something is chaser min ha-sefer. In other words, we're not being told the whole story. So you want to say that Rashi reads it, because they're not really going, but then why say Gerei Arayos?
Because he's reading Gerei Arayos, like, there was a problem with them from the beginning, and they weren't the best
thing that we've ever had. Yeah, that's a kvetch. Zach?
Why was Rashi, he's saying that, he acknowledges there's a machlokes in it, and he's saying that it's muchrach that in this Mishnah, this Tana holds that the Gerei Arayos. Why would he?
Now,
forget how it works, why would he even assume that this is the Mishnah?
That's an excellent question. And if you want to say Rashi holds like the Meiri, you can answer that question. What is the answer to your question if Rashi does hold like the Meiri, in fact? Ask yourself a different question. This Tosas asked this question. Why does the Mishnah have to tell us Kutis? So if you say that Rashi holds like the Meiri, then you understand why Rashi chose that. If you say that Rashi doesn't, then your question is a much better question. As why should Rashi choose? Because it's not the definition, unless Yitzi is correct. Or not in the way he's saying it, but unless Rashi is just reflecting the maskana of the Gemara on a Daraisa level. The maskana of the Gemara Chol. And that's the only other way I could see answering the question. Alex.
So,
I saw you. I know, I'm playing games with you.
So in Seder we were wondering, according to Rashi, the words Lotis Chaten Ram here seem kind of redundant because it doesn't explain anything about our Mishnah, it's just kind of their Haga.
Well, no, it does, because the first, because Habala Mamzeres is because it says Le'evom Mamzer B'Kalashem. So even though you're violating Le'evom Mamzer, nonetheless, you still pay a knas. So by Mamzer, I don't think you have to tell us. Rashi doesn't say anything, because we all know it's a pasuk in the Torah. But Kutim are not explicit what it is. No. To avoid, in other words, if you the Mishnah is, for the moment, without getting to Kamlei Rami, the Mishnah is telling you that certain psulim, despite the fact that they're psulim, I would say differently, despite the fact that you can't marry them, that you don't apply Velosei Elisha, nonetheless you pay a knas.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So therefore, we list the Mamzeres, so Kutis, you say, well, what's the issue of Kutis? So we understand the Mishnah must be telling us that because you can't marry a Kutis. What's the issue of Kutis? So Rashi says, Los Ischatin Bam. That's all.
So we're saying that Rashi is explaining Kamash Malan of the Mishnah.
Right. No, that especially, and the only question is, why is that different than a Mamzeres?
Right.
Why is it different than a Mamzeres? And the answer is, so I don't know. So that's what I was suggesting, that if this is a unique kind of thing, whether even they're half Jewish but not fully Jewish in a certain way, that's why maybe it's a bigger chiddush to tell us Nesina Akutis as well.
So we thought maybe simpler. Kasavar, generally, connotes a Havamina, right? So maybe Rashi is
like. No. No. Nope.
Is it even possible or not even possible?
Not here. In this form, Kasavar doesn't reflect the.
Oh,
you have to say Lema Kasavar. Kasavar doesn't mean it's Havamina. Kasavar is a statement.
It means
there's Machlokes. Well, once he identifies it, yes. That there's somebody else holds the Nake Rerayos. Yes. But.
Rashi says Kasavar is context, the way he says it, Kasavar means that there is
Machlokes. Correct. Right, you were asking why did he pick the sheet then? What would it then been otherwise? So I'm suggesting to you, you might even regulate. Right, the answer is that if this Tana held otherwise, it would have been no Chiddush at all.
So there's no way of saying Rashi explaining what we would have thought were not permission.
No.
Which means
that he would have said Salka Daita Chamina is what you say, not Kasava. Okay.
Deal with this further. I mean, Tosos has an answer to that question. And
agreed.
And I mean, Iri deals how Rashi would not like that answer.
Why would Tosos says?
Tosos, meaning the Havmina is that you might think that they should still have one because of that we still want to make a.
They shouldn't have it. No, they get.
You might think that they shouldn't have a Knas because they want to have Shlo Yitzmu then.
Right, which is what the Gemara says for the Knas that Rabbi Meir did institute, like Ben Ezekiel, yes.
And Rashi explains that you don't apply that in such a scenario. That there's a Gemara in Yudah Aleph, of an Aleph.
Shelo Yecho De Niskar. We wouldn't have thought to do it.
That's what it was.
That's so what the Gemara...
Something about how you don't apply that.
So Meir says that she would only get a Knas when she was a Meir Bechaska Yisrael Leit. And therefore, since she was a Kuti, that's why we wouldn't give her a Knas, because...
Right, that's again. If you explain, I said, if you explain like Rashi like the Meiri, yes, that it's obvious. Why Rashi per se wouldn't like Tosas? That I don't know. It's wrong.
I don't think you're gonna like this one either. Maybe because Kasava reflects the original lack of acceptance of the Gzera. The Mishnah reflects the original Gzera, which was rejected. Kasava that they're Gera, right? Like that. You know, that you should throw them out, and, you know, of course, eventually it ends up the way it does.
So I would have said it differently, only. I would just point out that, firstly, you know, Rashi doesn't, that doesn't make sense. If Rashi had wanted to say something, he should have said, Kasavar, that Kutim are Yehudim, are Jewish, as opposed to Maskana we know, which is they're not Jewish anymore. So it's funny for him to say, Kasavar Kuta Gerayasin. So I don't think he's thinking about the fact, I don't think he's thinking about the Gemara Chulin. I think he's thinking about the Machlokas Gerayasin Geray Emes. And I think he says Ger Arayas because if they were Ger Emes, there would be no Chiddush. That's what I think.
Can't Rashi be assuming the Ger are just Jewish?
Well, like the Meiri, like the Ravid.
Why can't he assume that they're Jewish?
Because normally the simple reading that most Rishonim read the Gemara Kipshuto, that when the Gemara says Ger Arayas versus Ger Emes, Ger Arayas means not Jewish. That's the simple reading. That is probably the only possible reading of the Sugyan Kiddushin. You might reject the Sugyan Kiddushin because the Gemara Yevamos that says Kulam Halacha Kulam Gerim Heim. But in terms of the reading of the Sugya in Kiddushin Ayin Hey, I don't think there's any other way to read it. And the same thing in the Gemara in Bava Kamma. There is no other way to read it other than Ger Arayas means Goyim. That may not be the maskana. It might be that there's another sheet in the Gemara that Gevir Arayas are not Goyim. That's the Gemara Yevamos Mustafa Talmud Beis. And the question is, are they talking about the same case? And they're arguing, they're talking about two different cases, Alatosis and the Rashba. But at the end of the day, in the Sugya Kiddushin, Gevir Arayas means Goyim. So when Rashi here chooses to say Kasava Gevir Arayas, it means, and not Gevir Emes. And that's what's odd, that's what's difficult about Rashi. But if you assume he holds like the Ravid and the Meiri, then the easiest way to explain it is Kasavar Gerarayos, which is this in-between state. They're Jewish, but you can't marry to the Kol. That's why she gets a Knas. But that's why the Mishnah has to tell you that there is a Knas, because you would have thought that since she's Psule Kahal, and not even fully Jewish, as opposed to a Mamzeres, you would have thought there's no Knas. Even though I'm reluctant to read Rashi like the Meiri, all in all, that's the best read. I mean, that's the only reading I think will solve all the problems. Okay. Yes, Daniel?
Can I just say that there's no issue of Mesula because we can trust them on most issues, but even if they aren't considered Jewish, we know that they don't have premarital sex?
So the pashtus would be that the reason for Goya is nothing to do with... So I'll go back to the sugya on Yud Aleph. And now I'm going to invoke the Yushalmi that a Shifcha, even if she's Mishumeris, doesn't get a Knas. It's not really because she's not Becheskas Pesula. If she weren't Becheskas Pesula, she also wouldn't get Knas for that reason, but it's because she doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. And I'll point to the Gemara in Yud Aleph Amin Aleph is a case where Shivadai was a Pesula, at Cheskas Pesula. She was a little girl. She was converted, let's say, below the age of 3 years and a day. She's Becheskas Pesula, and a guy is Ma'anesar. And now we make him pay the knas. And the Gemara Shaila was, yeah, but when she gets older, she could be mocha and not be Jewish at all, and she'd be receiving a knas. And that would be wrong. Why wrong? She was a psula. The answer is because it's not really about psula. It's a din, it's a gzeris hakasav by Yisrael, by Yisraelis.
So
that this knas.
Them even telling us in the original Mishnah that
the whole thing about her being 3 days.
No, the whole point is the shivcha was nishtachara before the age of 3 years and a day, or she converted, real conversion that would work, that would be permanent before the age of 3 years and a day, then yes, she would be entitled to knas. She's Jewish, she's giyores, she's a meshuchareres, she's fully Jewish. She's a psula, she gets knas.
But what does the age have to do with anything?
Because before that age, there's no such thing as bia. It's impossible. In other words, you still have to. The problem is that if she converted, or if she was freed after the age of 3 years and a day, then because goyos and shvachos are generally not becheskas mishumaros, they're prutz and barayas, therefore you just physically can't assume she's a basula. Whereas if she converted before that age, and now she's becheskas kashrus, and that she won't be mizana, she's not prutz of arayos, then she's a basula when she converted or was freed, and therefore we assume she continues to be a basula, and she's Jewish. And she's Jewish. You need both. You need for her to be a becheskas basula, and you need for her halach lev kedushas, full kedushas Yisrael. Okay, so that's that's why it's hard to say. It's not just about Cheska Spul. That Gemara demonstrates, even though we know she's a psula when she was raised, or we assume it, it doesn't matter. If it turns out retroactively she was not Jewish, she's not entitled to Knas. Sprung?
Isn't it a little strange for Rashi to take the Raivin stance over here but not by the morning?
No, I already answered. I preempted that question by pointing out that's not Haba Hatalia. And you could argue, in fact, that the Givonim, I think we certainly recognize a difference between a person who converts with an ulterior motive versus a person who doesn't convert properly. In other words, they're still worshipping Avodah Zarah. We can recognize that difference. One of them, and Lamaisa, we do distinguish, in fact. In other words, someone converts for an ulterior motive, ultimately we allow it for marriage purposes, you know, with some restrictions, but fundamentally we allow it, even though we're really not supposed to. Whereas we wouldn't allow someone to do it if they were still going to continue to worship in church and come to shul, right? That would not be okay. We would invalidate that geirus, you know, ipso facto. Not post facto, we wouldn't even accept that gerus. So bottom line is, it's very possible to hold of the conceptual category that the Ravid has, but apply it to Kutim and not apply it to Nisin. I think it's perfectly, Nasvar, perfectly reasonable. And in fact, I would add more, the Ravid's the Chiddush, because the category the Ravid is using is Geri Arayos. The Ravid is trying, to, in a sense, is trying, among the things he does, I didn't formulate it this way, I think, or maybe I did. One of the problems, we looked at the Ravid as solving the problem, are Nesinim Jewish or not Jewish? And the answer is yes, yes, but. Right? They're Jewish, but it's Asur Lava Bakahal, Midaraisa, until. But the Ravid is also solving another problem. He's trying to solve the problem of the Sugya in Kiddushin says Gerei Arayos aren't Jewish, whereas an Arsurim Bakahal, well, you know, I think it won't solve that problem, actually, Taka. So maybe it doesn't. So scratch that. But the application of Gerei Arayos to Nesinim is the stretch. The original Ger Arayos were the Kutim. Okay. Yaakov? I'm not coming through you. I'm just like, we can get the doses. Yaakov, go ahead. You had a question?
Me?
Yeah.
Not Yaakov.
Daniel, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just didn't realize it was...
Yeah, Daniel, I think I've known you long enough.
Where exactly do we make the cutoff between a Ger and a Kozo Lusuro and like a Ger which would invalidate the Geras?
Is that question relevant to what we're doing? No. That's a contemporary important question in chief rabbinate politics and halacha, not just politics. But it's not relevant. So let's try. You're not asking the question. I'm asking those who ask questions. Some of you don't ask questions or bichlal rarely comment, and the comments are usually pertinent to it. Some of you ask questions, and they're all on target, okay? And they're relevant. But if it's a question off on a tangent, not our topic, I'm not saying you're not Daniel. I'll call you Yaakov. That's why I called you Yaakov. So let's try just to keep the focus on. You know, you can ask me in Seder, you can ask me after Shir, you know, you can ask me in a box, you can ask me in a fox, whenever you want to ask those questions, but not in Shir. Okay, not when we're sort of trying to keep a direction. Fine. So let's at least start the Tosfos now. We might be able to do the Binyan Tosfos. I am going to offer a challenge to someone who would like to step up to the plate tomorrow, who would like to give shir on every line in the rest of the Tosfos that we don't finish today. You can come up and volunteer to me tomorrow morning, but it means I might even let you sit in the chair next to me, okay? But you better be prepared really well, because I might even turn the chair around and be in the audience and grill you. So, if I get no volunteers, it's fine. But if I get a volunteer, then I...
grows and we fail.
Kick out of shear.
Yeah, maybe you have to be exiled for a day in shear. I shouldn't even use that term because that's some bad thing. Maybe you get thrown out of shear for a day. I don't know. Anyway, if you're going to do it, you better be very well prepared. Or I might have you in the audience reading, but every line you better be prepared. That's how it's really how you're supposed to learn a Tosfos. The way you learn a Tosfos is being prepared to teach a Tosfos. And every question and answer, because there are a lot of like side topics here, so that's what's hard about Tosfos, so you better be very clear in it. You'll tell me tomorrow morning when you had a night.
We don't have to read it, though.
Of course you're going to read it.
When will we have to? We have to volunteer at the beginning of Seder or the beginning of Seder?
Beginning of Seder.
So
if nobody volunteers, I'm okay with that, but I'm offering the opportunity. This is a hard one. So anyway, I'm going to read now, okay? Perish Bakuntris. He sees Rashi is just following Lishna Kam of Rava, right? That the Isser of Los Schatim Bam is ongoing, and here it's being applied to Kutim. Umashe Perish the Kasavar Kutim Geri Arayos Hain Lo Nira the Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Meir. Forget what you want to do with the sugi and yivamas. Saying that Geri Arayos doesn't work. The Im Kain Ovedes Kochavim Hiv Ovedes Kochavim Ein La Knas. She's a Goya. She's not entitled to a Knas because Goyim are not entitled to this Knas. Kedeparoch Beperakama Yavina La Knas Ozav Ochla Binoch Viusa. So the Gemara makes clear that you would not give her a Knas if it turns out she was a Goya. In our Gemara, Moki Masnis and Rabbi Meir, they say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Why? Because they take it, our Mishnah refers Dafka to a Nara and not a Katana, and only Rabbi Meir holds that a Nara has Kanas, Katana doesn't have Kanas. The Gemara will do that on the bottom of this Amud. So Tosfos says if our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir is the Gere MS Hain. And Rabbi Meir holds in the Sugya and Baba Kama that Kutim are Gere MS. We'll explain briefly in a moment. Now, what might you be tempted to answer? You might be tempted to answer, well, guess what? Our Mishnah is not actually all Rabbi Meir, not in all respects, because we know Rabbi Meir holds that there's no kamay the Rabbi Mine by Misa's based in a Mamon, that other Mesa Mishalim, and therefore the Mishnah later in the parak, the twin, the second half of this Mishnah that says, Haba albito ein lo knas because of kamay the Rabbi Mine, so that Mishnah would be wrong according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, you'd be chayiv on by Ba'al Bito. So Tosfos says, "Va'af al gav de chula masnisan loasik Rabbi Meir." You can't say that the entire Mishnah follows Shitas Rabbi Meir. De hambito amar bigmara de loasik kavasei. And once you say that, that line of the Mishnah is not following Rabbi Meir. So maybe this line also isn't following Rabbi Meir. Maybe the one line in the Mishnah that Dafka follows Rabbi Meir is elu ne'aros. That's the one line that's specifically Shitas Rabbi Meir. But the rest of the Mishnah could be various Shitas Satanam and not necessarily be in agreement with Rabbi Meir. Put in different terms, we might say that it's Rebbe he v'nasav le'aliba de Tanoi. Rebbe picked different Shitas Satanam and he held a different opinion. Sometimes he held like Rabbi Meir, sometimes he held not like Rabbi Meir. As long as they're not mutually exclusive positions, it's fine. Zach?
You have to say at least up to the Akusis for Akusis point to Rosh, right?
What's that?
You mean...
No. The part that the Gemara says is Rabbi Meir. On the bottom of the summit is Elu Naros.
Right, Nara Inkta. He's saying it has to be on Christmas too.
I know, he wants to say, he doesn't want to, hold on.
That's not his statement.
What's that? The Mikomakom, Baha, the Savaring, the Gerei Emesain, Asi Kavase. This Mishnah is following Rabbi Meir in this respect. How do you know? Because the Gemara Baba Kama says it explicitly. Deha, Bishar Shanagach Dal Vehei, Maskinon, the Shar Si Yisrael Shanagach Shar Shokuti, Pater. The Gemara explains, the Braisa there says, that if a Jewish ox, if an ox of a Jew, excuse me, gores, the only Ben Zuta has, the only friend of an ox is Ben Zuta, if you know the reference. So the Gemara there says that if a Jew's ox gores the ox of a kuti's pater, he's not chayit to pay nezek. The Gemara originally thought that Rabbi Meir says that he held that they're goyim, and that's why. And then the Gemara says no, that kasavar gerei emesein. Nonetheless, mishum the knasu the kanis Rabbi Meir ben monam afalgav the minadin chayiv the gerei emesein. So the Gemara says no. Rabbi Meir holds really the Geri Emes, and Medina you should have had to pay Nezek Shalai Mechatzi Nezek, depending on Tam and Mord, but it's a Knas Midrabanan Shaloi Tamu Behen, by the way, so you won't intermarry with the Kutim. You want to keep them separate, you want to treat them a little bit like Goyim. Uparich, and then the Gemara asks Akasha Mimas Nisan, from our mission right here, the Hacha, the Kutish Eishla Knas, the Isaka Daitach the Knas, who Shakanas Rabbi Meir Bimamonam, Hachinami Liknos. The Gemara asks Akasha, then why does this Mishnah here say that she does get a Knas? Why aren't you Kones, the Kutim in our Mishnah, the Kutis, not to get a Knas, like a Goya, just like Rabbi Meir is Kones by Nezek? Alma, you see from the Gemara's question what? the Masnisa and the Hacha Savra the Geri Emesein. You see that our Mishnah is working with the Shita, then it's Geri Emesein. Geri Emesein, and the Gemara wants to know, why weren't we Kones? So you can't say that this Mishnah, you could say that not every line in the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, but you have to say based upon that Gemara, and the Gemara is really saying that this Mishnah holds like Shitas Rabbi Meir that the Geri Emesein. Yeah? So that's the Kasha against Rashi. The Im Tomar Im Kain, so you're going to ask, if they're Geri Emes, my Kamashvalan, Pshita the Yesh Laknas, the Israelis Kimurahim. If you say that it's just that the Geri Emes, it means from the perspective of Elun Aros, she's 100% Jewish. She might be Aspasu Bakol, but so is a Mamzeres, and a Mamzeres gets a Knas. So what's the what would the Chiddush be here? You might have thought that maybe we should have been gozer, just like Rabbi Meir was gozer by Nezek, that, to treat them as goyim, shelo yitam ubahem. So to here, we would have thought to have been gozer as well. Okay. Alex? Question?
Yes. If we don't give these people a knas, does that not encourage sort of
the other thing? So that's what the Gemara actually says in Bava Kamma. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Shelo Yehechote Niskar. But the point is, Tosus doesn't quote that part, it's not relevant for his part. No, the Havamina was that you make a Gzera on them, like we did by Nezikin. The answer is we made a Gzera by Nezikin because there's no downside to that, but there is a downside to being Gozer, to making the Gzera here, which is exactly what you said. What's that? Okay, but so you're saying once you have the maskana of the Gemara, the maskana of the Gemara effectively explains the Mishnah. But the Mishnah had to tell us that because you would have thought that you made a knas kamashma on the Mishnah that you chayiv in knas that you don't not konis the kutim, you make the guy pay his knas, presumably kshalei chote nisker. That's all. Does that, I mean, in other words, you only know that the Mishnah says we're not konis the kutis. The question is, why would he, so the question is, why would you have thought that she doesn't get a knas? The answer is, you would have thought that you were konis the kutis. It turns out when we don't make a knas against her in this case, why? The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Shalei Chote Niskar. But for the Mishnah itself, the Mishnah doesn't say that. So that's why I would have had a Havamina. I would have a Havamina that you would make her, that you would give her knas, because Shalei Yitamu Bahen, just like we make by Nezikin. The Mishnah says, no, we actually do. We do make her do make him pay the knas. We don't make her forfeit the knas as a kutis.
That's fine. So then, can't you just raise the question of the lap and ask when the Gemara says, "How does that make sense?" That's going to encourage people to go have.
No, the Gemara maskana is the hava. I mean, the Gemara wanted to know why weren't we kones here. The answer is exactly that, because there's a downside. The Gemara asks,
and why is there no downside to Nezikin?
Why is there no downside to Nezikin? Because it's not a malicious act. A Jew has to generally guard his shor anyway because it might damage other Jewish shor.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Okay.
Is that clear? Now I understand? So your question is, in the maskana, the Mishnah says that we make him pay the knas, and that's exactly shelo yechote niskar. Right? But by Nezikin, he's not doing it intentionally. It's a shor that's goring, which he presumably normally would have to guard anyway, because if it gores a Jew's ox, he's going to have to pay nezek. Sure. Don't apologize.
When that's definitely not a good enough. That's not a good enough defense for the Havamina, because the Havamina, meaning the Havamina, still doesn't give any reason why you think you need to give the Knas. Meaning, the way that the Havamina and Maskana should react to each other is that we would think that we would defend them, but in the end, we think even though we should defend them,
we
should want to separate them,
right?
But even though we would want to separate them, we saw they did an Inkot and Iskar. So even though that would be a good separation, we don't want to create the separation because...
That has real downsides.
Because it has a downside. His question was, I believe, was that wouldn't even create a separation. That would not create a separation at all.
No, but it would create a separation.
Because that would
no.
It's actually rape.
Oh, no. That's not what you were asking, was it?
That is what I was asking.
No, but our concern is not that people shouldn't rape kutim. Lo yitamu bahen doesn't mean not to have bia with them. Lo yitamu means not to intermarry with them. When we have that very pejorative expression, shiks is our for practice. On the one hand, it conveys, you say, well, you have bia with them. But on the other hand, that very statement conveys a message which says, you kind of fun on the side here, but once it comes to get married, you don't, of course, you're shiks. That's really what it, so I would say, Adarabha, if that was the purpose, you could have even furthermore. The fact that you reinforce the notion that being with them doesn't really count, you see, you don't have to pay a knas. That wouldn't encourage people to marry them, it would encourage people to rape them. That's a bad thing.
No,
You don't want to reward that behavior, but that in itself wouldn't undermine. Tosis is assuming that would not undermine our concern of creating a barrier to marriage.
Now, which would undermine creating a barrier to marriage?
Having them be free, what's the expression?
Having it that they would not...
You would not pay a knas to them, which might encourage, if someone was going to pick a girl to rape, he'd pick a kutis, would not lead to further intermarriage.
As long as you give that defense, then I'm fine.
You know, a lot more alone.
But again, I'm telling you, at the same time, he picks her because he knows he's not allowed to marry her because she's not really Jewish.
And
so he's doing it for fun. What? No, he can't. He's not allowed to. That's the whole point. The reason the Mishnah tells us you pay a knas is because it's not below CL Isha. We haven't gotten there. It's on Amud Beis. We will eventually get to the Gemara, I promise. Okay? But the whole point, the Chiddush in the Mishnah, and there are Tanaim who argue, that Tanaim would say, no, if you can't marry the girl, you don't pay knas. You just pay the rest. Right? So the whole point is, but this, the Tana of the Mishnah assumes, except for when this comes by the Rabba Mine by Mises Beis Din, so even though you can't marry, you still pay the knas. So you know, I pick this one, I'll get away with the knas, because she doesn't really count, you know. She's like a Goya. Wait, sure, you want to give your answer?
Oh, the answer we had before was just that this creates a separation between the two, because we were wondering how this creates a separation. One was because we thought we'll get a halakhic separation of status, and you can see it very clearly from the knas. And second, it also gets a separation because they know that we don't seem to respect them in a certain way.
Well, that
from their point of view, they would also want to separate themselves.
So that's why it would be better.
That's why we should give them a knas.
No,
that's why we should give a knas. Exactly.
That's what I said. That's more or less what I said. That if you don't have it, right?
The first one, the second one. Well, no.
I'm saying basically, you're saying that if he's going to pick her to rape or seduce, he's more likely to
be.
You're
saying that from Yisrael's side, from Yisrael's point of view, because he can realize that he must be different.
Yeah.
I'm saying
from their point of view too. Okay.
They also realize that they're being separate and being almost attacked against, and they would also make sure to separate themselves.
Fine.
That was just what we said in Seder.
Okay, so I think we're really in agreement on this.
Yes. The thing is, the first time you said it sounded like you weren't talking about Halamina.
Yes, sir.
In light of the Gemara Nezikin, would you pay, in our case here, would you pay a knas but not pay the Nezik?
No, that's only by Shora. I don't think that's true by Adam Hamazik. I'm not intimate. As far as I know, the din that a Sharsi is to an Essek by a guy, I could be wrong, but as far as I know, it's only in the Gemara, the only place in which context which is stated is Sharsi Yisrael, when it's Mamon Hamasik, not when it's Adam Hamasik. I don't, you know, maybe if you look on the Rambam, he would say otherwise, I have no idea, but that's the only place I'm familiar with it. In other words, because you're not Masik intentionally, it's unintentional. Okay, let's stop here.